Keep on shoveling, keep on shoveling, keep on shoveling. Shoveling the ashes, chiseling the surface, fire in the furnace, a hammer in the anvil, hammer in the anvil.
WMFO Medford.
Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
WMFO Medford.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
WMFO Medford.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. The show is called Time Travel. My name is Chris Earle. Let's start time travel, shall we? But first, Alec Baldwin.
This is Alec Baldwin.
Chris Earle exits the studios, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Earle.
WMFO Medford.
WMFO Medford. And time travel is about to get at you soon. Chris Earle is here live, somewhat wounded, with a walking wound. All right, let's see what this silliness is all about here.
WMFO Medford.
Ho, ho!
WMFO Medford.
Ho, ho!
WMFO Medford.
Ho, ho!
617-627-3800 is the listener line if you want to call in and make a request. This is exciting. 617-627-3800.
The needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few.
Or the one.
Let's rock!
And the bass keeps walking, 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 walking. Walking, walking, walking. In this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your necks. So lose the inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break from tradition. 'Cause when we beat out, you wouldn't believe how we wow shit out. Everybody,
yeah.
Everybody,
yeah.
Let's get into it,
yeah.
Get stupid, get retarded, get it started,
yeah.
Get retarded,
yeah.
Let's get retarded. In here, let's get retarded. Bob your head like epilepsy, up inside your club or in your Bentley. Come on now, do not correct it. Let's get pregnant, let's get hectic, let's get retarded. In here, let's get retarded.
Welcome back to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? We have 10 possible contestants battling for the chance to come up here and take home $1 million. The question is, place the cars in the order that they were released from earliest to most recent. The Mustang, the Model T, the Volkswagen Bug, and the Jeep Cherokee. Let's give our contestants time to answer. All right, the time is up. The answers are from most earliest to most recent release. B, the Model T. C, the Volkswagen Bug. A, the Mustang. And D, the Jeep Cherokee. Now, the person with the fastest time was Rich Praylent from Wheeland, West Virginia. Way to go, Rich. Let's play. Are you ready? Let's have a game.
Pleasure to be here, Regis.
Well, now, you know how the game is played. You get three lifelines, and there are 15 questions between you and $1 million. Are you ready to play the game?
Yes, I am, Regis.
All right. The first question is for $100. According to American folklore, what kind of tree did George Washington chop down? Was it A, an orange tree? B, a cherry tree? C, a fig tree? Or D, a pizza tree?
Well, Regis, if a pizza tree existed, I'd probably weigh 300 pounds. I'm pretty sure it's a cherry tree.
Final answer?
Yes, it is.
It's a good one. Cherry tree is correct.
Yeah. Nice going.
All right. Now, the next question is for $200.
Actually, Regis, I'm good. I think I'm going to fold up the shop.
I'm sorry?
I think I'll fold up the shop, take my $100, go back to West Virginia, and plan my family's future.
Fair enough. Rich Praland, everyone. What the hell kind of a game show? It's a game show. You're a bump. We'll be right back after these messages. You're a bump.
Many years ago, tomato soup and cream of tomato were unusual dishes, enjoyed very much, but not very often. Today, of all the soups in the world, tomato soup is the one most often served. Not because women have taken to making tomato soup frequently. No, on the contrary, few housewives ever attempt it anymore. There's just one reason for tomato soup's popularity, and it is this: the magic, matchless flavor of Campbell's tomato soup. There's a lively verve, a dashing zest about this flavor that people take to at once and come back to and enjoy again and again. The first racy taste of it has a way of arousing a desire to eat, and yet there's a pleasant feeling of satisfaction when the last spoonful is gone. So this soup is a happy choice for the main dish at lunchtime or at supper, and it also is a fine way to start the day's main meal. Serve it sometimes, too, as cream of tomato, made with milk instead of water. You can always be sure that it will be received with pleasure, because this, of all soups, is the one people like to have most often: Campbell's tomato soup.
Are you ready, quartet? All right, let's go.
Drink to me, darling, not with thine eyes, but with past blue ribbon tears. 'Cause if you toast me with past blue ribbon, I'll
that is splendid is the beer that is blended from 33 fine brews. And if you'll serve me sparkling clear, perhaps your love, dear, I can't refuse.
You can have it with cold cuts, it's yours to please. Serve it with a dab of tasty nippy cheese. Now it's food refreshing, it has no flaws. And anywhere they have the beer, the follow is because
I've run a million laps for a bottle of Pabst Blue
What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken.
Heineken? Yeah, shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
We're sending you back to the future!
And now, traveling. I remember... I was traveling one day in a fried out combi on a hippie trail, had my head full of a zombie. I met this strange lady, you know. She made me nervous. She took me in, you know, and she gave me breakfast. Hello, I says. She says to me, do you come from a land down under? I say, yeah, I do.
WMFO Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM on your radio dial. My name is Chris Earle. My guest today is Mr. Tony Moschetto. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Welcome back into the studio. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
I think we were here for maybe the Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've gone through the winter and the spring and the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And now yeah. You're back.
I'm back.
You're back. We're covering for Joyce the Voice, who's normally here from 3 to 5 p.m. But Tony is going to be here with me until 7 p.m. It's an extra large time travel today.
Yeah.
Just like me. Extra large.
Yeah, but plenty huggable.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's things been? How's your summer been?
It was good.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really do much.
No?
No.
Working?
I was... No.
No, just hanging?
I was writing mainly and working on stuff and...
That's working.
A little bit, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, writing is work.
It is.
Yeah.
And when we're artists, like the two of us are, we understand that.
Artists. Yeah.
I'm an artist.
I spent a lot of time in the basement.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to the basement every now and then, because you never really know what's down there sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. It's like 15 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
So we didn't put the air conditioner in the window.
No.
So I just scootled down the basement and had a little desk down there, and I just kind of chilled out and wrote. And
nice.
You know?
You got the dehumidifier at least?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dehumidifier. It was beautiful.
That keeps it nice. You get down there, it's nice and cool.
It's, yeah.
And you can also, if you need a little bit of water, the dehumidifier, that's actually distilled water. You can drink that. Did you know that?
Can? I didn't know that.
You probably shouldn't, because if it goes through the dehumidifier filter and you haven't changed that in years...
Well, it's a little dusty.
It gets a little dusty.
Yeah,
but you can actually drink it. It's distilled water.
I did not know that.
It's just like Kevin Costner in Waterworld when he pees into the jug. You ever see that? He pees into the jug and then he makes little water.
That's right, yeah.
That's what Gandhi used to do, too.
Hey, you know what? If you're going to drink your own pee-pee...
Yeah.
You know, you can either do it like Gandhi...
Uh-huh.
Or in a pinch,
right?
You know, and push comes to shove,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Kevin Costner did, you have no choice.
Yeah, the problem with the Gandhi and the Kevin Costner, though, is it's probably warm, and I would probably like mine chilled, like one ice cube.
Well, if you... Well, maybe if you keep it, you make a batch of it.
Yeah.
You know, you can chill it.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Like, do you think, like, Gandhi was, like, sitting there thinking, I'm drinking my piss?
He's like, I'm completely bat crazy.
Right.
No, I don't know.
I wonder what he was thinking about.
He's probably just thirsty.
I don't know.
He's like swatting flies off himself, sweating.
Yeah, if it's not like a life and death situation,
mm-hmm.
you got to be thinking that you are a genius.
Right.
Right?
He's going to, probably he's like, I don't think anybody's even thought of this before.
Or he's, yeah. Or he's just taking a sip and he's like, oh, that's, I can't taste it. I can't taste the
It tastes just like water.
Yeah.
It tastes just like water.
Just tastes like water, yeah.
He puts it in a little jug or a teacup.
Yeah.
I wonder if he labeled it like Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
Wednesdays. I wonder if it tasted a little different with every day. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've never done that before.
I'm going to have to research that.
But you have to, it's going to be going through your mind the whole time you're sipping.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're really thirsty and you're just like guzzling it.
Yeah. I'm so thirsty. Yeah. I'm so thirsty. I wish there were more.
Yeah. But it just, you drink it and then you're going to piss it out.
Right.
And you're going to distill it. And
there's going to be a little less every time.
You know? You
right? Because your body does need to get some of that in it.
You just need one,
mm-hmm.
one bottle. That's it.
one old Poland Spring
bottle.
I think I would get the older one, though, that actually has the plastic that's thicker.
Yeah.
Because these ones now, you squeeze it a little bit and it just goes everywhere.
Yeah, they're kind of cheap.
And every drop at that point is priceless.
Well, they probably didn't think, like, well, we should thicken these up a little bit in case people put their piss in it.
Right, right.
You know?
Well,
and drink it.
You know what you could have, actually? You get, like, a glass Snapple bottle.
There you go.
Because then you could fit right inside it, too.
Exactly.
It's like
Well, you can.
Right. Well, there's pretty much, yeah.
No, I can fit in there. I can too.
I'd probably get stuck.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
Get turned
as
out.
As my father used to say with the Snapple jug, there's no penis that will not fit into this bottle. I don't know how he knew that, but that's what he says. And that's his preferred method. Like if he was driving around the van and he had to pee.
Yeah.
It would be the Snapple. Or the Tropicana half gallon.
You're talking about the 16-ounce Snapple or the 32-ounce Snapple?
It's a 16, right? Yeah,
yeah. All
16.
Right, well, I'm thinking Gatorade. They had both sizes. All right.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it funny, like, a man would think that? They look at a bottle,
mm-hmm.
and they immediately think, I can put my penis inside here.
Right. If you need to go, you need to go. Especially if it's a long trip, like over 4 miles.
Yeah. I bet that's how they designed it.
Mm-hmm.
The pitch meeting.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make it a little wider. Why? Well, you know, have you ever been on a long trip?
Uh-huh.
There's no bathroom?
I think the Coors Light people started to get that, too, because they created not only the wide mouth, but you could put the cap and screw it back on and then just toss it out the window afterwards.
If you
don't preserve it, if you don't save it like
right.
Kevin Costner or Gandhi.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you can preserve your beer. Like, yeah, right, that's for you so the piss won't drop, you know, spill.
I've found so many, like, out on the lawn, just, like, kids throwing it out the window or just, like, walking down the street after school. They just, like, toss it in the lawn. I'm like, what is this? I always use gloves when I'm cleaning up my lawn.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, you never know what's on there.
Well, I work in Lawrence, right? At the mm-hmm. I coach tennis there. Mm-hmm. And the high school, the courts are right near these, you know, it's not like in a great neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a park next to the tennis courts, and all these guys do is just like smoke weed and play hoop,
mm-hmm.
right? But you go there the next day and there's some garbage, and you see like, what are you talking about? Gatorade bottles or
yeah,
you know
they're half full and they're not red anymore; they're yellow.
Right, I don't want to touch them.
Yeah,
it's like disgusting.
Yeah. I miss being young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you're carefree, too. And you don't even realize how much of an ass you've been, like leaving your trash behind.
I know.
Like now we're more responsible.
Well, I never did that, though. I never...
You're a good boy.
Yeah. I mean, when you're young, why are you leaving your trash behind? What's that have to do with anything?
Right. And especially, manners. Like, if you live there, it's like, what's mom, dad going to pick it up? It's like, clean up your stuff.
Yeah. It's just basic manners.
It's true.
That's all it is.
And they don't have that anymore. They don't learn the basic manners.
These kids.
You know, they should have the basic manners class. Like a charm school.
Yeah.
Like learn how to put a book on your head and...
They should.
Like My Fair Lady charm school with boys.
They should.
Just for boys. Because I think the girls are all set. There's this weird gender bender thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And it's relatively new. But all the girls, I've noticed, are guys, and all the guys are becoming girls. Don't you think? Very, like, the standard of like, 1980s, 1990s, teenage boy, teenage girl. Like, it just seems like the shoulders have gotten a lot thinner for the boys. And there's more women playing sports than the guys. The guys are, like, joining band and hanging out.
No, I think it's about the same.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think boys are coming girls and...
No?
No. That's an interesting observation. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
You have...
Things are changing, though.
I think these kids throwing piss on your lawn is really... It's striking me.
Yeah, it's upsetting me. I think what's happening now is I'm living more in fear every day, and I'm living more with worry than I used to be. Fear and worry and anguish.
Yeah, well, I think that... that's because, do you watch the news?
I don't, not that often.
No?
Not that often.
But you're on the internet? You're on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on the internet right. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Mm.
It's fear-mongering.
Yeah.
It's a level of anxiety that I think a lot of people across the board are experiencing, and it's keeping everyone kind of, like...
On edge.
On edge, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they want it that way. They want it that way.
Yeah.
These kids.
Yeah, I'm always nervous. Like, what's going to happen today that's awful?
Right.
I don't know. I wish I had, like, an expiration day, like I just knew when it was going to be over.
You want to know?
I think I'd want to know, yeah. Would you want to know? No.
I don't think I would, no.
As long as it's not, like, next Monday.
Right. As long as it's, like, way in the future.
Yeah. It was, like, 2070.
Yeah.
99 years old. It'd be like, I'm going to make 100. Oh, didn't make it.
Right.
But still good enough.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, it's going to be awful, like, if you get that old. I'm horrible now. I'm going to be a horrible old man.
Well, here's the thing. I can't imagine it being great if you live that long, because you're always tired. You don't know what's going on. A lot of these old people, they're not, I mean, some of them are sharp, you know?
Yeah.
But you're not. Yeah.
My grandmother was 90. And we actually buried her on her 91st birthday.
Yeah.
She passed away this year. She was awesome. And she was smart as a whip. But I don't think she really realized, even though she knew she had cancer and she was stage 4 and she changed every week. It was horrible watching her go.
Yeah.
But I don't think she really knew. I don't think she was ready. Like, she wasn't completely prepared. Like, she thought, because her mind was so active still, that she still had another 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the mind is... the last thing to go, really?
I agree. I think that's what it is. And I think these out-of-body experiences that people have, it's basically your mind shutting down.
Yeah, unless you have something that prevents you, you know, like Alzheimer's or something like that, which is just hideous in itself, you know?
Horrible.
But if your brain is really functioning, then of course you're going to feel like there's really no time.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Because I feel like I can do things... that I did 20 years ago.
See, I can't. I look at a tree and I'm like, I'm never going to climb that ever again.
Yeah.
I look at a tree and I'm like, I'm not going up that thing.
Right.
Or,
why, you were climbing trees 20 years ago?
20 years ago? Yeah.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to climb a tree now.
You know when I... Yeah. But no, like into my late 20s, I was still climbing trees.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Wow, I did.
It was a different perspective.
You're the first person that's ever said that. Like,
well,
I mean, that's interesting.
I think it was something very nice to do. You're around nature.
Yeah.
You can have a quiet moment. You could bring a book. You just got to be careful.
Yeah.
And perch yourself on the tree.
So some people are out there like, you know, I can't really walk up the stairs like I used to.
Mm.
And you're like, I really can't climb a tree.
That's right. That's right. I get a little bit of exercise here. That's why I knew you were like right behind me today. But I'm like, I got to go upstairs because I've got the stair stepping thing now. I got the Fitbit. So I'm like, I'm going to get another 100 steps going down to get Tony in another minute.
Hey, you know, if you, I highly recommend if you get a job, part-time job, whatever, if it has some physicality involved, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It really, because if you don't, you're just going to sit around all day.
It's true.
You know, that's what I've been, that's pretty much what I did this summer. Now I'm working. I'm doing like a delivery type job where I'm lifting and, you know, walking and pushing stuff. And
right.
And it's a good little workout, you know?
You know what I noticed? When I worked for the post office for about a year, and I was a clerk there, and it was pretty physical.
Yeah.
And I was eating more, though. That's the only thing. I was like hungry even more. I was having like a second and third breakfast, you know?
Nice.
Like snacks mostly.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the thing too, you know. You get older.
The metabolism's gotta kick in, like they say.
Yeah, it changes when you're our age.
Yeah. I think it's important to be active. And this Fitbit has actually helped me. The steps thing has helped me.
Yeah.
I've actually I got pretty big. I was biggest I've ever been. Okay. And I basically dropped like 14 pounds this year.
Nice.
I got to the point where I'm like, oh, it was too much.
Yeah.
You know, I actually get to the point now, it's like if my heart's beating, you know, I can't even feel it. I'm like, is it beating? I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm touching my chest. I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is. And it makes me worry, but I'm like, is it still there? Is it gone?
Yeah.
It's been broken so many times.
It's just, these are the Chris's therapy session right now.
I know. It pretty much is. I don't know what I'm going to do when the show's finally over next year. I think I'll just like, that'll be my expiration date. It'll be like last show of time travel and then taking the suitcase and walking into the great beyond. That's it.
The great radio ether.
Yeah. You think I should keep it going? I'm basically saying March is it for me.
Well, it's not written in stone, right?
It's not officially written in stone.
I say this, if it excites you and you love it, keep doing it.
I do. I enjoy doing it.
And then you like you were saying before we went on air.
Yeah.
You know, podcast, you can't really play music, right? And you like playing music and having
yeah.
You know,
like I get us talking, we got Star Trek in the background.
Yeah.
We can't do that anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's just on WMFO.
Plus you got to keep, you know, podcasts, I don't know. Anyone can do a podcast.
That's for sure.
But you can't come into a radio station and work, you know, you have to work the board, you have to plan, you have to...
It takes a modicum of talent.
It does.
Yeah.
It's an art to it. There's a...
Yes, I'm glad. I appreciate you say that.
There's a discipline, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And it's too bad because I started out wanting to be on the radio. That was my... That's how I kind of, in a roundabout way, got to comedy and all that stuff. But I love radio. Especially, you know, growing up and...
Yeah. There's a romanticism still
really
to the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great back in the day when it wasn't corporate, when you had these independently owned stations and they were, you know, going back and forth and they had the rivalry and all that stuff was fun.
Yeah.
You know, the world was bigger. Just like a bigger world.
It's
you know?
Changing a little bit.
It's changed.
The radio's changing. The boys and the girls are changing.
Yeah, the boys are becoming, you know, they're acting like girls. They're throwing piss on your lawn.
It's
not fair.
It's not. We got some tunes coming up that Tony has chosen.
Yeah.
And we got a nice little playlist here. I thought we'd do some fun stuff here today. I brought in a couple of audio cassettes, and it looks like the cassette thing isn't hooked up here at WMFO anymore, so we won't be doing that. But it was the Smoker's Refresher. We'll try that another time. And we also had We Are the World, sung by me and three friends back from 1989. The Dolphin Waxes was the name of our band.
It's too bad.
Yeah, 17-year-old, four teenage boys. We came up with the Dolphin Waxes. That was our funny name. And it was recorded live... Of course. How is anything else recorded? It's always recorded at Canopy Lake Park at the Superstar Recording. But we'll be playing it today.
I remember that stuff.
Yeah. Very limited edition. One of one, that tape.
That is a collector's item right there.
Yeah. And I also have a quiz. We have an 80s music quiz, and we also have Aesop's Fables. I thought maybe we could read a couple of these, which would be fun. But Aesop. That's the one with, like, okay, there's, like, a cow and a kid and a mother, and then they teach the story, you know, something nice to the kid, like, don't pee in jugs.
All I'm thinking is, like, the cartoons.
Yeah. The Aesop's cartoons?
Yeah, remember...
Remember, like, the genie? The genie that was, like, doing stuff, and he was kind of creepy?
Yeah.
I think, like, SNL ended up doing something for, like, TV Funhouse, where the genie was just, like, completely crazy.
Creepy, yeah.
And started, like, killing off all the kids.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, The Horse and the Ass. We'll read that one. It's always good. I was like... The Buffoon and the Countryman, The Woman and the Wine Jar. I wonder what she's going to do with that.
It's like my neighbor.
Yeah, The Woman and the Wine Jar. It's only... See, the Aesop's Fables, too, and it's like, I don't even understand, like, how they would tell these stories to kids, because they're, like, a paragraph long. It's like this one. All right, I'll give you a little preview. The Old Woman and the Wine Jar. You must know that sometimes old women like a glass of wine.
True.
One of this sort once found a wine jar lying in the road and eagerly went up to it, hoping to find it full. But when she took it up, she found that all the wine had been drunk out of it. Still.
And replaced with urine.
Replaced with a fine batch of urine. But no, it says still she took a long sniff at the mouth of the jar.
Yeah.
And ah, she cried, what memories cling round the instruments of our pleasure.
Mm. Talking about the mouth.
That's nice. It's not saying, like, she's going to use the jar and, like, make a sandcastle or anything. It just says, you know what? Somebody had a good time with this wine jar, and I'm going to appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's nice, but it's, like, it's 20 seconds long.
But it's a good lesson.
It is.
To appreciate the little things. And
do you want to read one?
Yeah, I'll read one.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to just thumb through and...
Sure, yeah, yeah. Next. I'll give you a little Star Trek music in the background for yours. Ready?
The Horse Hunter Stag. A quarrel had arisen between the horse and the stag. So the horse came to a hunter to ask his help to take revenge on the stag. The hunter agreed, but said, if you desire to conquer the stag, you must permit me to place this piece of iron between your jaws so that I may guide you with these reins and allow this saddle to be placed upon your back so that I may keep steady upon you as we follow after the enemy. The horse agreed to the conditions, and the hunter soon saddled and bridled him. Then with the aid of the hunter, the horse soon overcame the stag and said to the hunter, now get off me and remove those things from my mouth and back. Not so fast, friend. I forget the hunter's voice. I'm sorry. Said the hunter, I have now got you under bit and spur I have a stutter. And prefer to keep you as you are at present. Stupid horse. And the moral of this is, if you allow men to use you for your own purposes, they will use you for theirs.
So true.
It really is.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think that Aesop really had a...
He had a grasp
of reality. You and did. Not only that, I think I just like the fact that he was out to help people.
He's really out to, you know, he's like a modern day for those times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like a Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
You know,
it was very helpful.
Yeah.
I agree. I consider myself a Dr. Phil sometimes with time travel. It's more therapy for myself than anyone else.
Exactly.
But I do like to educate as well as entertain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do one more. I will do one more quick one, and then I'm going to throw on The House of Fun by Madness.
Yes.
And we'll be back. This one's called The Fisher. It says a fisher, who I guess is a fisherman. I don't know. Let's find out. A fisher, he once took his bagpipes to the bank of a river, and he played upon them with the hope of making the fish rise. But never a one put his nose out of the water. So soon, the fisher cast his net into the river, and soon it drew out forth filled with fish. And then he took his bagpipes again, and as he played, the fish leapt up in the net. "Ah, you dance now when I play," said the fisher. "Yes," said an old fish. The moral of the story is, when you are in a man's power, you must do as he bids you. It's kind of sexist.
Hmm. Yeah, but I'm sensing a theme here about men and power.
Hmm.
Because, you know what I mean? Like
these are the old school, like, machismo men.
Well, yeah, it's like it's men's power over animal, it seems like. Because you get the horse, the hunter said, you know, "I'll help you kill your rival."
Yeah.
"But you got to let me ride you."
Yeah.
"And, you know, tame you." And the horse is like, "Yeah." And then he broke, you know, the guy broke the deal, basically. He's like, "Aha, I'm a man."
Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Fon, fon, fon. Yeah.
Unless I'm way off base, but that's what it kind of...
No, I think there is a common theme there. And then I did like the one with the old lady and the wine. And she's like, "Somebody had a good time with that's this. Cool. It wasn't me, but I'm going to think about their good time." You ever think about, like, somebody else's good time, like what they're doing? Like, especially if you're on Facebook or something. Like, people just smile and make it look like they're having a good time, and they're not. They're, like, crying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't really...
Yeah.
Not on Facebook, no.
Right.
I mean, but I know how people are like, "Well, that's why people are depressed, because they see other people having a good time." It's like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, I could ride down the, like, I don't, because I know, like you said, it's all a bunch of BS, you know?
Yeah.
But I, you know.
You don't feed into it.
No.
No.
Sometimes you think, like, it's like a weekend.
Yeah.
Friday night, and you're just home alone.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, someone's out there having a good time.
Right. I don't even think that anymore. I just think, I'm so glad I'm home alone.
Yeah.
Just relaxing, watching some TV, maybe.
Thinking about climbing trees.
No, yeah.
But there's definitely, like...
Maybe order a pizza.
There's definitely that thing, like, it does turn, like, you're like, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not out."
Yeah.
I don't really need... I've had all the good times.
Yeah. Pretty much, I've had all the good times.
Yeah.
Which is depressing, but also, it's a time of rest.
Right.
I think this decade is a time of rest.
Rest?
Yeah.
And then get back to it.
And then you get back to it, yeah. It's like, I didn't have any kids or anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you have the kids, and you're going crazy, and then they leave and stuff, and then there's the period of rest, and then you want to go to, like, Florida or get the RV.
Right.
Go somewhere, do something. Because you notice, like, in about, like, the 50s or 60s, if you've passed by without any health issues, like, people are going crazy. They want to go somewhere, and they're all full of energy and stuff. And I'm like, I'm waiting for that moment. I just want to get past the next 10 or 15 years of work and a little bit of rest, and then just, like, go out and party again.
I think that's possible, yeah.
Play, like, jarts and horseshoes.
That's right. Go down to Florida.
Yeah.
See Cormier.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I never hear from the guy. He's having a blast.
I bet.
He ends up getting a girlfriend. I never hear from him again.
Oh, really? You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's nice.
Good for him. But
what was weird is, like, we're having a cigarette, and he's like, "Don't tell her I smoke." And I'm like, "Dude, you smoked, like, a pack already today." I'm like, "She sleeps next to you. How the hell does she not know you smoke?"
Yeah, she's going to smell it.
She's going to smell it.
Yeah.
Of course. And she comes out and she's like, "Oh, did you give him a cigarette?" I'm like, now I'm torn, because I'm like, I look like the frickin' bad guy to her.
Yeah. How did
but
she say
also
it?
The loyalty to for Rick, I want to cover for him.
But how did she say it?
She's like, "Oh, you gave him a cigarette." Like he hadn't smoked in months. And meanwhile, I already saw him, like, smoke a pack already that day.
That's when you go, "You know what? Good luck, Rick."
Yeah.
"Ma'am." And then bolt out of there.
I couldn't, though, because I was living with him for the weekend.
Okay.
Could have got the, I'll get the hotel next time.
So you're gonna take the hit.
But yeah, I was just like, she's like, oh, so you gave him a cigarette? I went, ah, I think that's what I did. I didn't say yes and no because I didn't want to lie, but I also didn't want to break cover for him. That's his issue to deal with her. It wasn't up to me to say no. He's lying to you.
Isn't it? And you know, because we're the way we are, the best response would be like, you know what? Yeah, I gave him a cigarette. What, you know, you guys are adults.
Mm.
You know, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they get into an argument, and then I have a bad time the rest of my vacation. You know what I said...
Then you go to a hotel.
He actually gave me one. That's what I said.
Oh, you did?
I kind of ratted him out, I guess. He gave me one.
Yeah.
But I showed it, I think, yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why he doesn't talk to me much anymore.
Yeah, right. Now we figured out why you haven't talked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you ratted him out.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
She probably forbid him to talk to you again.
Yeah. I was talking to another friend. It goes unnamed. And he was saying that they were playing like a game together. And he accused him of cheating like on a Facebook game. And then they got into a fight and they don't talk anymore.
You talking someone got into it with Cormier?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a Words with Friends, and they were beating him. And Rick accused them of like looking things up in the thesaurus and the dictionary and stuff.
That's awesome.
So he got upset. And I'm like, come on, man.
Like, for real?
And they were friends, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's stupid.
I'm like, at least get into a fight with something good, you know?
Yeah.
Not for that.
That's great.
But, yeah. I just say, hey, you know, there's bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
You know? But he's having a good time down there.
I bet.
Yeah. Making a little cash. He's got his girl. You know? Got a nice place. You can get a place down there like 30 grand.
Where is he?
He's like in Port Richey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You can get it like a double wide. Where you can actually get like a little place. You know, the double wide. My grandmother was in Naples. Which got hit by the hurricane recently. Of course, she's not there anymore because she passed away. But, down there for, like, the season from November to the end of May, $3,000.
For the whole time?
The whole time.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, that's like my mortgage every month right now.
Yeah, but the only problem with that, it's Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You know?
The I-75.
It's just... Ugh.
All the people.
I spent some time down there a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so, like, soul-crushing and boring.
It was a little depressing.
It really was. And there's, like, no younger people. Like, there are younger people down
there. They've killed them all off. All the old people have killed them all off.
Yeah.
It's the reverse of Children of the Corn.
Right.
That'd be a good horror story, actually.
That would be.
All the old people, like, killing them all off.
Yeah. Let's write it out.
Yeah.
Wonder if it's ever been done.
Probably has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that's good has already been done, pretty much.
Yeah.
Almost everything.
It really has.
Let's play a tune, and we'll come back in a minute. I'm going to play some Madness. We had... my friends from Ireland come in last week. It was a great little show, and Jeffrey, who was the cousin, called in from Limerick, and he liked his Madness. So I'm gonna play another little Madness song for you, and we'll come back. We'll do a little 80s quiz, and then we'll do some more of Aesop's Fables. Maybe we'll learn some more today. I think we're gonna learn a little bit. We're gonna discover more about ourselves.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a great discovery today. Back in a moment's time travel here with you till 7 p.m. My guest is Tony Moschetto.
Plastic windows, clay on a corner, just walked in.
Welcome to the house of
understood. 16 big boy, full pint in my manhood. I'm up to date on the dice, two dice. Hope if you serve, I'll be on my way. Welcome to the house of fun. Now I've come my way. Welcome to the lion's den. Temptation's on his way. Welcome to the house of fun. I'm so excited, but we don't stop. Party gimmicks in this shop. Try the house of fun. It's quicker if you run. This is a chemist, not a junkie shop. Party heads, simple enough, clear. Comprehend, he sent me, understand. Do you hear? A pack of party heads with the colour tips. Too late, Gorgon's her gossip. Well, hello Joe, hello Miss Clay. Many head returns from the day.
Welcome to the house of fun. Now I've come of age. Welcome to the house of fun.
The Death the Late Club. We like to do for you now a tune entitled Shamalama Ding Dong. So hit it.
Wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw
I still remember when you used to be 9 years old.
Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. A little bit louder now.